JoJo gets a win. Winnipeg gets a team. And Jason Terry gets a tattoo removed. Maybe. This is the Sports Radio Jax. You're tuned in to the Jax, and we're coming to you live from the friendly confines of Studio One at Centennial College. As always, you can find us on centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio, or you can download the podcast by simply clicking on Centennial Internet Radio. Feel free to stalk us on Twitter at SportsJax. I'm Josh Lewinberg. He's Aaron Karolnik, and producer Greg is large and in charge behind the glass. How's it going, boys?
It's going all right. I'm feeling a little under the weather today. I feel like there could be some asbestos in the air. Looking up at this studio, we got a panel that's a little off, and it looks like there's some funky white stuff up there, which is a little disconcerting, I must say.
My angle isn't the best on this, so I can't really see up there. The bad news is it's directly above me, so if and when things go down...
The toxic fumes are raining down upon you right now. I'd be careful. We should come in with those. You remember the SARS masks from back in the day?
Oh, I do.
When SARS was around, we should get some of those when we're in here, because otherwise we're probably going to contract some very bad things.
Your paranoia is starting to rub off on me. I think I'm fully expecting like a raccoon or something to jump down from this open panel.
Ravi Singhar is just going to climb out from in here. Ravi Singhar, the excellent security guard here at Centennial College.
Shout out.
Actually, Jimmy Mangos, who is not with us today, and Ravi Singhar and I had a very interesting conversation. We talked a little bit about the security business. Ravi Singhar works from 8 to 8 twice a week, and then he takes 2 days off.
Working 8 till 8.
Is that a song?
9 till 5.
9 to 5, yeah. Well, in any case, Ravi Singhar, very interesting. Sheds a lot of very interesting details about Centennial College that I hadn't known previously.
Wait, he speaks English?
Oh, yeah, Ravi Singhar, very, very well-spoken individual.
Really?
Very classy individual. I really enjoy his company. I actually invited him up to host the show with us today, but he had to stay at the
We're actually going to get him to produce?
Desk. Yeah, I think he would be on time, unlike an unnamed producer that is employed by the Sports Radio Jax.
I got here as quick as I can. As quick as I could, I mean. And Ravi had to eat lunch, so he is unavailable to produce.
What were you doing, Greg? Why were you late?
I was doing laundry and cleaning my room.
I noticed you have a pair of shorts on that I don't recognize seeing before.
I made these today.
You made them?
Yeah.
How did you make them, per se? I said per se.
Oh, that word is hereby banned from human conversation.
Gotcha. I took a pair of corduroys that I had, and it was really hot outside, and I was like, well, I need a new pair of shorts because most of them were dirty. So I cut the lower half of the pants off and made them into shorts.
What did you use to cut the
made them
corduroys?
Into pants?
I use scissors.
Okay, what good else pair I? Of scissors?
Decent, yeah.
It's hard to find a good pair of scissors these days. Pair of scissors? Just scissors.
It's pair, yeah.
Pair of
it
scissors.
It doesn't make any sense.
Pair of pants, one. Pair of scissors. Like, just because there's two like blades, it's a pair?
It shouldn't be.
Wow, that is such an unbelievable concept. Just because there's two, it's a pair.
Why is it not a pair? Is it a pair of sunglasses as well?
It's because it's two things.
No, but it's one. It's one thing.
It's one object, Greg.
But it's a pair. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, Aaron, but
playing
obviously
devil's
you can
advocate.
Agree with it. Yeah, there's two. There's
a pair of headphones. I think it's a pair of headphones.
Yes, yep. Of course. Because
a pair of sunglasses. I never realized
because if you have one headphone, it's one. Like this is.
But the headphones refers to the entire mechanism.
Yeah, because it's two headphones.
No, it's one headphone. There's two, like, speakers on the headphone.
Exactly. There's two speakers, therefore it's two headphones.
No. We need to make some serious alterations to this language. There's some misconceptions, some mistakes that must be corrected.
Think about it. It's a pair of sunglasses. There's two lenses. A pair of scissors. There's two blades. A pair of pants. There's two legs. It all makes sense. I'm just saying.
Wait. Greg, what did you do with the bottom half of your pants?
I tossed them in the garbage.
You're just throwing them out?
Well, they
were perfectly good pants.
You could use them as like a towel.
Tearaways?
Tearaways, yeah.
They're not going to be much use in the summer because it's awfully hot outside.
Oh, we should add tearaways to
kinda,
the conversation we're going to have a little later with Greg.
They kind of were bell-bottom-ish.
See, this is the problem with producer Greg. He thinks very short term, so he's thinking summer right now. But when the winter rolls along again, he's going to be short a pair of pants. He's going to have to purchase a new one.
What movie was it where... Oh, no, it was the episode of The Office where Michael Scott ventures into the wilderness and he cuts off his pants in the daytime and he sews them back together at nighttime because he was cold. That's what I feel is going to... You should go back when you get home, collect the discarded bottom part of the pants.
And we pay Greg in sandwiches. He doesn't have very much money. How are you going to afford another pair of pants?
I have plenty of pairs of pants. Don't you guys worry. You know how
I'm wearing your pants.
I love fashion, so I have plenty of pants.
We'll talk about fashion later, of course, because what would an episode of Sports Radio Jax with Greg Hood be without a little bit of fashion? We were talking about Paul Konerko just now, because the dude, again, when this podcast comes out, he'll probably have like another four Jax by the time people are listening to this, but he just hit his 12th home run of the season.
Paul Konerko, year in and year out, is probably the most underrated hitter in baseball defensively.
Human being on the face of the earth.
I guess if we're speaking from a fantasy baseball perspective, year after year, guys like Ryan Howard, Mark Teixeira, Prince Fielder are routinely drafted after Paul Konerko, before Paul Konerko. But Paul Konerko puts up numbers comparable. He's drafted many rounds later. It's becoming absurd how underrated Paul Konerko is on the whole baseball landscape. Guy's an absolute stud.
Game one of the NBA Finals went down yesterday. We have the NHL playoffs to preview. We have hockey in Winnipeg once again, and we're leading off the show with asbestos and Paul Konerko.
It's just the asbestos is affecting my throat.
Greg's Spence.
Spence.
What do you mean by Spence? They're pants.
They're Spence.
They're shorts, I mean.
They're not.
They're now shorts.
Pair of shorts?
What do you call them? I forgot the word already. Spence?
Spence.
Spence.
What the hell does that even mean?
Shorts and pants combination.
That's capri pants.
Okay, so you're wearing capri pants.
No, I'm not. These are definitely not capri pants.
They're very pretty.
They're short.
At what length does a pant constitute capri? Like
past your knees.
Stand up, Greg.
Past your knees.
Yeah, past your knees. You want me to stand up?
Yes, please.
I want you to keep your shirt on, but I want you to stand up. Is that okay?
No, climb on the chair. I can't see. There you go. Oh, my God.
I hope you fall.
Don't fall. Yeah, don't. Those are too short. You cut them too short.
Okay? Yeah.
You got to buy a new... and there's, like, threads hanging down. Like, what's going on here?
What's with the threads?
I wanted my kneecaps to get some sun.
Oh,
it took you 4 hours to get here. You couldn't have done a better job getting rid of those threads?
No. The threads are...
This part of the fashion.
They're intentional?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
All right, save that later. Spans.
Hanging threads.
Hanging threads.
So, okay, all right.
You want to talk some NBA Finals?
Yeah. We actually watched that game together last night, and producer Greg was there.
We did, and I must say I am never watching a game with you again. It was an embarrassing moment.
I think I was the only person in the bar who was supporting the Miami Heat, but, you know.
The only person outside of Miami that was supporting the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it's very possible, but you got to do what you got to do in the pursuit of monetary gain, you know.
Is what we saw on Tuesday night? Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
What we saw on Tuesday night. Going to be the theme of this NBA Finals? Is it going to be a quick elimination for the Dallas Mavericks?
I think the theme of the playoffs for Miami has just been their fourth quarter domination. It seemed last night, and we've seen it time and time again, this playoffs with, you go back to Boston, Chicago, I don't even want to talk about, did they play in the first round, Atlanta? No, it wasn't Atlanta. I'm lost there. But in any case.
Miami?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. That seems like so long ago. But
years ago.
Just the fourth quarter, it just seems Miami just lulls you to sleep. Dallas was using so much of its energy in the first half and the third quarter. The fourth quarter, Miami just comes to life. LeBron, whether it be LeBron and Wade together, Bosch just comes along, toes along. For the ride, they just lock you down and they get big buckets when they need. LeBron's three at the buzzer at the end of the third was a dagger in the heart of Dallas, too, which is a huge shot. It was a really good game, and it's going to be a good series, too.
If and when they win the title, everyone will be pointing to the big three. The offense of the big three, the domination of LeBron James, the awkwardness of Chris Bosh, I guess.
He was great in the first quarter, but after that, he was brutal.
But it's been the defense, and this is what we've said all along. If you're going to make this big three experiment, which really isn't an experiment anymore because Boston tried it, they succeeded, but it was the defense for Boston that put them over the top. And we saw that again with Miami last night. The defense has been the difference. 92-84, the final, holding Dallas Mavericks, a very good offensive team, to 84 points.
It's also interesting to note that many experts talked about the difference that Dallas's bench was going to make in this series. And looking last night, no one would have imagined that Miami's bench was able to outscore Dallas's bench in Game 1, even not unless any game of the series. So if Dallas's bench is getting outscored by Miami's bench, Dallas is going to have some serious trouble even winning one game.
When the big three, specifically, I guess, Dwayne Wade towards the latter part of the season, were having some trouble, the question was whether or not these guys are going to be able to turn it on when it matters come playoff time. I didn't think that the people that were going to be able to turn on the switch come playoff time would be the Mike Millers, the Mario Chalmers, the Udonis Haslams of the world, because they've turned it on. They're doing things that we haven't seen from them in the last 6 months.
It's funny how a guy we gets lost in the shuffle, and deservedly so, is Mike Bibby. He's the starting point guard for Miami. It's been absolutely atrocious.
0-for-4. From the field, and
I think he's shooting
three.
26% in the playoffs. Somehow this guy, I guess he's a decent defender.
No.
Brings some leadership characteristics.
No.
I don't know. Like, it's just boggling the mind how this guy gets any playing time. Maybe, I don't know if it really makes a difference at this point, because Miami looks pretty solid, but Mike Bibby is horrific. But actually, Mike Miller left the arena yesterday in a sling from his left shoulder, so without Mike Miller, he can result a little less death, but I think James Jones is getting healthier from his injury he suffered in the Chicago series. So if need be, James Jones can step in and shoot some trays. But Miller's looked pretty good on the O boards and the D boards too. So
things can change so quickly in any NBA series. We've seen it so many times in the postseason so far. So a Game 1 win that Miami was favored to win in Miami is not the end of the world. Dallas is one win away from evening the series and making it a whole new beginning. What do they need to do to even the series in Game 2?
Well, definitely the bench needs to be way better. Guys like Jason Terry, I don't think Jason Terry scored in the second half.
Yeah,
Barea was pretty much non-existent.
One for eight for Barea.
He's getting shut down. Like, these Miami boys are very physical, and they are very set in their system, and that's causing problems for a lot of the big boys that has been carrying Dallas throughout the playoffs. But pretty much, what did Dallas shoot last night? 35% from the field?
37%
of the field. They're obviously, I don't think either of these teams will shoot as poorly as they did last night. Miami wasn't much better. But Dallas is going to need to hit some threes, and they're going to need to. Dirk was good last night, as expected, but the supporting cast was not there. Jason Terry needs to be significantly better. But they put LeBron on Terry for a lot of the second half, and that was a big difference maker in the game.
Jason Terry is a little bit added motivation in this series.
Yeah.
We know he got the NBA championship trophy tattooed onto his arm prior to the playoffs, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And he has said that if, and maybe when, the Mavs lose to the Heat in the finals, he will have that tattoo removed. He claims that it'll be more painful to have that tattoo sticking around on his body after they lose, if they lose, than to get it removed. A little bit of added motivation, I would guess.
Yeah, I think that regardless of the added motivation, if Jason Terry is being guarded by LeBron James, it doesn't really make much of a difference either way. He's not going to be able to get any good looks, because LeBron is proven to be one of, if not the best defenders in the league. This postseason has been an absolute lockdown machine. So Terry's going to have to rely on others to hopefully keep that tattoo intact.
I'm going to give a shout out to a player that I haven't been a big fan of in the past, but you mentioned defense, and this has been one of the better defenders in the 2011 NBA postseason. You know where I'm going with this?
I do not.
Talked about this yesterday. You laughed at me.
Okay.
Jason Kidd.
Oh, yeah.
He's been good.
Yeah.
And he obviously has plenty of accolades as one of the best point guards of all time. His court vision is as good as it gets from anybody at his position. But his defensive prowess is something that most people don't know about. And for a point guard, he's got good size. He plays good defense. Maybe not against quick point guards, but you're certainly not going to beat Jason Kidd with strength.
You're absolutely right. And many have given much of Dallas's improved defense the credit there to Tyson Chandler, who obviously has played a huge role. But you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Kidd has been a staple of that defensive system. He's excellent on the perimeter. Forces guys to go baseline instead of going down the middle, so that gives guys like Tyson Chandler the opportunity to block shots, and Brendan Haywood too. So you're absolutely right. kid has been very impressive. And 38 years old. Wow. So
the oldest guard to start in an NBA Finals game.
Good for him.
And he's the third
player.
He's the third player 38 plus to start in an NBA Finals game. Can you name the other two?
Kareem?
Correct.
Producer
Greg, anything?
This is just a stab in the dark. I'm not good at basketball. Gary Payton.
Oh.
No.
How old was Gary Payton?
He retired when he was like 36.
Oh, really? Well, geez.
Sorry. All right. So how old are we talking here?
I don't know the age.
No, no. How old? How long ago?
Fairly recent. Definitely last 10 years. I don't know if it's last five. Last decade.
Like John Stockton. No, John, no, it wasn't just. I don't know. You guys.
Oh, you're close.
Oh, it was Carmelo?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right. I like that. I guess, yeah. Wait, was he Emerson when he was in the Lakers, though?
Yeah.
Oh, true.
But there's somebody older than Jason Kidd in this series. Juwan Howard.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
You know how much older Juwan Howard is? All these stupid
Two
stats.
2 years older than Jason Kidd?
44 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And he was picked three selections behind Jason Kidd in the draft.
It's interesting to see these guys that were played in different eras. You look at Hawkeye, like Mark Recchi was playing for many of us here at Centennial College were even born. So it's always interesting to look at the career paths. These guys are still able to contribute despite their significantly advanced age.
Mark Recchi was playing before his teammate Tyler Seguin was born, wasn't
he? Yeah. That's a very good point, Greg.
It's interesting.
We'll get into the NHL a little bit later, but it's always good to include tidbits like that from producer Greg.
Another stat that I came across that I enjoyed was the trio of Bosch, James, and Wade have the largest point per game average of any trio that's reached the NBA Finals. They score, on average, 73.5% of their team's points. The other two behind, both Laker teams. One was in 1962, the other in...
Jerry West and those boys, probably.
Yeah. Yep, and the other was Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and Derek Fisher.
Ah, T-Fish.
Yeah.
Still has his name in the record books. Actually, we talk about Shaquille O'Neal there. Well, maybe not formally, but on Twitter anyways, talked about how he was going to be retiring. So big ups to Shaq on a long and illustrious career.
Can you call something that everyone expected to happen breaking news?
But I think it's exciting because the Twitter world is all a Twitter due to the possibility that Shaq could be joining Kenny and Charles on the TNT panel, which would be amazing.
Would it, though? I think it might actually
Shaq's
be too much.
No.
I love Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq's hilarious.
I think it might be too much.
Like, Chris Webber, I love Chris Webber, but sorry, bro. You're gone. You're gone. Let's get Shaq in there.
Is that too many characters, though?
Too many cooks in the kitchen. I think Kenny's very complimentary, but to have Chuck and Shaq on the same panel might be a little bit
Maybe
too
Shaq
much.
Will respond to an invitation from Sports Radio Jax. We'll get him on.
That would be quite something.
Yeah, he'd be slightly bigger than Matt Hayes. Slightly bigger.
Slightly more coherent than Jimmy Mangos.
Slightly, yeah.
Probably less drunk.
Yeah, Jimmy does tend to get drunk.
Jimmy is on extended vacation, by the way, if you're looking for Jimmy Mangos. Paid vacation.
We look forward to his eventual return one day.
So we go from one of the NBA greats in Shaquille O'Neal, and we're talking about maybe one of the NBA greats in LeBron James. Another NBA great, Scottie Pippen, came out this week and made an interesting statement saying that Michael Jordan is probably the greatest scorer ever to play the game, but he would go as far as to saying that LeBron James may be the greatest player to ever play the game. And everyone was all over Scottie Pippen for this comment, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar over the last couple days.
Yeah, I saw that.
Quite a lengthy open letter that he wrote.
Did he write that? Or is that like written by someone like as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
This isn't Andrea Bargnani here.
I guess.
I think a lot of that actually came from him, I would think. Some interesting language used, kind of talking down to Scottie a little bit. I have some of it here in front of me. It's very, very long, but basically giving credit to Wilt Chamberlain, who he referred to as
the Stilt.
The Stilt, which the late Wilt
was not. No. What was the nickname he preferred? The Dipper? I think that was it. Yeah, that was it. Great. We checked that on Wilt Chamberlain's nickname.
That he preferred?
Yeah.
Will do. I'll be right back.
Okay, good.
He also brought up Russell as being one of the greatest or the greatest winner in NBA history. And kind of took a different approach than Scottie did. Didn't say Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. Didn't say LeBron James is the greatest player ever. But that neither are or will be the greatest player ever. So what's your stance on all this?
I don't think there's a finite answer to who is the greatest player ever. There's arguments to be made on so many different levels for so many different players. But for Scottie Pippen to call Michael Jordan the greatest scorer ever, he's completely omitting the fact that Michael Jordan was a 9-time first defensive All-Star. Oh, Craig has an answer for us.
Straight from Wikipedia. Chamberlain was known by various nicknames during his basketball career, but he hated the ones that called attention to his height, such as Goliath and Wilt the Stilt. Yet somehow, actually, I'm going off on my
so
own.
So is it Dipper or?
This isn't the answer to the question.
But he says he prefers the Big Dipper, Dippy, or Dipper.
All right.
All of which were inspired by friends who saw him dip his head as he walked through doorways, which is the same thing as pointing out how tall he is. I don't get it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Craig. Some good sleuthing there.
Thank you.
Where were we? Yes, so Michael Jordan, obviously an exceptional defender in his own right. I think Scottie Pippen probably regrets his comments to some extent. I don't know if he realized what he was saying was going to generate such a hullabaloo in the
But why
NBA
has
world.
It, though? People have said this before. People have said this before, and Charles Barkley says crazy stuff like this almost on a weekly basis. So why is it that Scottie is getting such a hard time?
I think that whenever anyone mentions Michael Jordan's name with reference to anyone playing in the last 10, 15 years, whether it be Kobe Bryant, whether it be LeBron James, I guess those are the only really thrill to maybe Shaquille O'Neal with the best players ever, people get excited. And there's so many MJ supporters that to this day will never even acknowledge that there were players even close to his caliber, which is a reasonable stance. But that being said, I don't know if there's any legitimacy to comparing LeBron to MJ. I know the rings. MJ has 6 rings. LeBron has only won 1 finals game. But Scottie Pippen was in attendance where he held Derrick Rose to 6% shooting. When LeBron James was guarding Derrick Rose in the previous series against Chicago, Derrick Rose shot 6% from the field. And that is simply outrageous. Derrick Rose is the MVP of the NBA, and LeBron James was that dominant defensively, and that's not even talking about his incredible offensive game. So obviously it's not fair to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan at this point, but
why?
The rings, for one. The longevity of Michael Jordan's career.
Listen, I don't agree with the statement necessarily. I hate LeBron James, and I don't think that LeBron James obviously is the greatest player of all time, which really wasn't the statement.
He may be
in the future.
Which is very true.
Which is a fact. The bottom line is LeBron James is 26 years old, right?
Yeah.
At 26, Michael Jordan had no rings, not 6, no rings. He had won just as many MVP awards, 2 MVPs. So I think you nailed, I think, what's the figure of speech here that I'm looking for? You nailed the
comparison?
Something on the head, the hammer on the head.
Oh, you
hit the nail on the head.
There
hit
you
the nail
go.
On the head.
Out of work,
thanks,
Greg.
That's why you Wikipedia that?
No, that's just me being intelligent.
True.
Oh, wow. Throwing darts already.
Yeah.
I don't care for that.
That one really hurts, Greg.
Yep. You nailed it right away when you said that it's a matter of opinion. It's perspective, because there are so many ways that you can judge the greatest of all time. Do you include the defense? Do you include the offense? Do you include championships? There's so many factors to consider. So why can't Scottie say his opinion? So for Kareem to come out and say things like, you are way off in your assessment on who's the greatest player. I would advise you to do a little bit more homework before crowning Michael or LeBron. Like, homework, what is that going to tell you? That's going to tell you the things that we're listing off now, the stats, the championship rings. But why can't the man have his opinion? What's wrong with that?
You're absolutely right. If you want to look at stats, they didn't record block shot statistic back in the 50s and 60s. So guys like George Mikan, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell. Who knows? Will Chamberlain might have averaged 9-10 blocks a game. And if you compare that to modern times, which is obviously an unfair comparison, it's incredible. So the stats aren't a fair representation of the true statement. And it's just an impossible. I guess that you can make the argument in so many different fashions. It's hard to criticize Scottie Pippen there just for having an opinion, which is wrong on the surface. But it's always a good point to discuss MJ versus anyone because there's so many different vantage points to go at it.
I'm a stats guy, as you know. So let's discuss something in which we can use stats to basically demand that our opinion is the correct one. Fantasy sports.
You like fantasy sports? Isn't that for nerds?
No. That's World of Warcraft is what you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. WoW was not for nerds.
You don't play World of Warcraft, do you, Greg?
No, I've played.
Is that where you were? Is that why you showed up late today?
Did you play StarCraft back in the day?
I played the Warcraft 3. The not just World of Warcraft. That's a little.
How long ago was that? Do you think?
We used to have like huge LAN parties in my friend's basement in high school.
Nice.
Never StarCraft.
Before or after you egged all the people's houses in Cambridge?
Same kind of time.
Okay.
I'm horrific at it, but it was just a lot of fun to have those LAN parties.
Zerg and Protoss. Do you guys remember that?
Nope, not at all. Don't know what you're talking about.
All right. So
fantasy sports.
Yeah. Fantasy sports. Good activity. Good hobby.
The Fantasy Jacks. Let's spend some time on fantasy baseball here before we move on. Something that is near and dear to both of our hearts. Only one of us is good at it, and the other one, not so much.
Yeah, you are very bad. I agree.
Well,
wow. Well, it's actually Greg who's the worst. So,
baseball's not my forte.
You are a football mastermind.
When
so
football comes back, you guys better look out.
It's true. It's true.
The theme of Major League Baseball, in reality and in fantasy over the last few weeks, have really been injuries. No, we've seen so many high profile big names go down, and I don't know that there's enough people to replace them to step into the lineup at this point.
That's a fair point, especially when you look at guys like Buster Posey,
yep,
who plays at a premium position like catcher.
How do you replace these guys?
Hanley Ramirez, who may or may not go on the disabled list with a back injury. Guys like David Wright. I feel like I'm listing off my fantasy team here. But these guys are playing at premium positions where there's just not that much replacement level value. So, and that speaks to the, I guess, the overall lack of talent in the sport as a whole. But there's lots of minor leaguers that are coming up.
It's the era of the pitcher, right?
Yeah.
So it's one thing when an Adam Lind, Shane Victorino, guys that are actually coming back shortly. Very excited to see Adam Lind back in the lineup.
I know you
but
are.
Outfielders go down, there's usually replacements. When you have guys like Maurer still out, Buster Posey, as you mentioned, you got some shortstops, and the shortstops this year, that position is brutal. Disgusting.
Terrible. But, it speaks to an organization's level of depth that if you're able to replace a guy like Maurer, which Twins are the worst team in baseball, or one of the worst teams in baseball, that's just been a black hole in their lineup for X number of weeks now, with Maurer questionable return anytime soon. And then you look like Buster Posey was the Giants' best hitter last year,
yep,
for as soon as he got called up. So, and for some reason, they refuse to play Brandon Belt in that position. They're rolling with Eli Whiteside at catcher right now. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see San Francisco trade for a guy like me or sign Benji Molina, trade for Pudge Rodriguez. I don't know, but they need to do something.
So with so many players hurting, there's certainly a lot of roster spots to be had on many fantasy teams over the next few weeks. So a couple players that you might want to take a look at, especially if you're in the need for speed with guys like Hanley, riding the pine for
come back soon, Hanley.
Well, we'll see. He does say that it's the worst pain that he's ever experienced.
Hanley's a tough guy. Never been on a DL in his career.
No, but this is a guy that's been playing through pain for
he'll fight through
many
it.
Years.
Confident in Hanley.
You might want to take a look though at Eric Young Jr.
Ooh, yeah.
Jr.
Ooh, I like that.
At the top of that Colorado Rockies order to replace some speed. Unfortunately, not eligible at shortstop, which would be nice.
Second base and outfield.
Second base is a scarce position as well, so that position eligibility could help. Like I said, hitting at the top of that order, he's played 5 games since being called up, hits in all 5, 3 steals, and he was impressive in AAA this year as well, batting .363 in 160 at-bats and going 17 for 18 stolen bases.
It's a beast.
This year as well. So I wouldn't expect too much power from Junior, but...
No, but if you can get on base in that at the top of that lineup,
absolutely.
Cargo and Troy Tulowitzki is about to explode, by the way. This guy is due for one of his massive streaks, which I'm sure will occur very soon. If you have a spot at the top of the lineup, think of how many guys they've rolled through there over the years. Dexter Fowler, and that's all I can think of right now. But lots of guys that they've tried out at the top of that
Willie
Colorado.
Tavares?
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one. Remember, he was he had 70 steals one year. So, yeah, it's a very coveted spot in fantasy baseball.
And he's
Eric Young.
Wildly available right now.
Yeah, well, you should keep that a little DL. We want. Maybe I might have to pick him up at some point.
Who's
soon,
your second baseman?
A guy named Ian Kinsler. He's pretty good, so stick with him.
Maybe we'll talk about him when we talk about, selling high.
Oh, I see Greg is on fantasy baseball right now. I'm a little concerned. He might steal our players.
Picking up Eric Young?
No, actually. I'm not in our league, but I'm in another league.
I can see that.
You were talking about how Adam Lind got injured. I'll just throw a name out there. Adam Lind got injured. I went and picked up Todd Helton, who had been playing admirably.
Todd Helton is 95 years old and has the back of a 190-year-old, but somehow continues to churn out a .320 batting average every
another
year.
Fixture of a very solid Colorado Rockies lineup, one that's been underachieving, really, when you think about it as a whole. But with Eric Young at the top of that order, he's a guy that's been up and down over the last few years as far as the major leagues, AAA. But if he can stick with the big league team and get on base consistently, this isn't a guy that's going to have to hit necessarily even .300 to be valuable. He can hit .280 if he's stealing bases. Yeah. He's not going to have to hit home runs.
Yeah. If his on-base percentage is anything reasonable, this guy's a fantasy stud because he's going to steal a lot of bags.
I'm going to throw one more name at you. Another guy that's at the top of what could be a potent lineup if everyone's healthy. New York Mets, Angel Pagan.
Ooh, I think that's a Jimmy Mangos-owned player.
Yep.
But is he at the top of the lineup? Because I think they go Reyes and Justin Turner.
No, Pagan's been batting first.
Really?
Yeah, he's been
back. Well, I guess Reyes is on the bereavement list right now. That's probably... But Pagan is a guy...
He'll be batting at the top of the order, I would imagine. Second,
Justin Turner's been very, very solid up there in New York.
Yeah, but Pagan, we can't forget, fantastic last year, batted .290, 37 steals.
37, eh?
37 steals. Wow. He's been hurt this year.
He had some dingers too, Pagan.
Yeah. Solid certainly player. More than I would expect from Eric Young.
Yeah.
If he's around, he might not be around, but he's certainly a buy-low guy too, because if you look at those numbers on the season... They're not going to be, I think he's batting around .200 this year, but he's a guy that if he stays healthy, he was once a hype prospect as well. So that's another guy that I would look to for some speed at the top of a very potent order.
Yeah, so we talked about guys that you might want to go and look to pick up, but I think I'm going to focus on some guys that maybe you want to get rid of who you might have drafted relatively high. My first guy would be a man by the name of Billy Butler, a rather rotund fellow.
Yes.
But this is a guy who... seemingly one of the most overrated players in baseball. Sure, he hits for a very quality average. I think he was around .320 last year. He's hitting over .300 this year. But the power and the speed, obviously the speed for someone of the size of Billy Butler is never going to be there. I think Butler had 15 home runs last year. He's at 3 home runs and 20 RBI this year. So, and the lineup he hits in is just not that desirable. And to be honest, I'd take guys like Eric Hosmer, his Kansas City running mate, Carlos Pena, the previously mentioned Todd Helton, Justin Smoke, all these guys I would probably take over Billy Butler for the remainder of the season.
Really?
What do you think of that?
I'm a little surprised that at this point in his career, Billy Butler is not hitting for power.
Yeah.
I still think he's a solid guy to have around.
He's okay.
He's going to bat over .300.
Yeah. That's all you get, though. You just get some hits. And Billy Butler, you need more from your first base position. Like, there's no potential there. It's disappointing.
Give me somebody you'd sell high on right now.
Well, I know you might not like this, Josh, but one of my prime sell high candidates is a man by the name of Jeremy Hellickson. Of course, the prized Tampa Bay rookie.
Disagree. Keep going.
There's some bias there. But actually, I own Hellickson in a few leagues, so it's not completely biased. But Hellickson right now has a sub-3 ERA.
Correct.
6 wins.
Yep.
But he has only played the Boston Red Sox once this year, has not faced the New York Yankees, and I feel that those matchups might be coming a lot more frequently towards the tail end of the season. You also look at Hellickson's lack of strikeouts, which is a little disconcerting. He actually has a well below average strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is a pretty crucial statistic when you're looking at the plausibility of a pitcher staying relevant towards the end of the season. Not to mention, I know this will... be much to your chagrin, but it's very likely that Jeremy Hellickson is shut down prior to the conclusion of the season, so you might only get 170 innings out of Jeremy Hellickson. So I'd certainly say he's a guy you might want to get rid of if you have a prime offer sitting there.
If you can get good value, I agree with that, because although he's been solid, I think he's allowed more than 3 runs like once in any of his major league starts, but he's going to face tougher teams. If Tampa's in contention or anywhere close to contention towards the end of the season, I don't foresee him being shut down. But the guy is still a top prospect. He's a guy. He's a highly touted guy for a reason, and I'm holding. I'm holding.
You will regret that, sir.
Perhaps. Perhaps. Coming up, we'll talk about the NHL finals. We'll preview the Stanley Cup. And we'll talk a little bit more baseball, too. Maybe some Jose Bautista beef.
Joey Bats.
And a potential Brett Laurie call-up this week. But first, let's find out what's good in the hood. Keep on saying it all. Could get used to that tune.
That is a jamming tune. That's Jamiroquai, right, Greg?
Yes, it is. That's not, I don't know. I'm not a huge Jamiroquai fan. Maybe I will be after hearing that song.
Perhaps. I might have to go out and purchase his album on iTunes.
Next week, I don't even think we'll have to use that. We'll just be singing it ourselves.
We should. I think that's something we should definitely use for next week. Let's keep that in the bank.
Although you've heard my singing voice, it's a little bit embarrassing.
Hey, you're like a young Marvin Gaye.
Oh, thank you.
Can I ask you one question?
Absolutely not.
Should I start Scott Baker today since you were just talking about fantasy
sports? Who is he playing?
Detroit.
In
Detroit.
It's a tough one.
He played very well last game.
You give Scotty Bakes the okay.
All right, cool. That's all I want to know. Go ahead. Proceed.
We'll talk about that next week after he
gets lit up like 14 runs. Yeah, let's hope so.
This segment, which we call What's Good in the Hood, we're going to ask producer Greg Hood about a bunch of different topics within one overall topic that will be changed each week. This week, we're going to do something very near and dear to his heart, fashion. And Greg, for each subtopic, will have to tell us whether or not he's okay with it or not okay with it, a.k.a. if it's all good in the hood or if it's not good in the hood. Shall we start?
Oh, I can't wait. This is what I've been most excited for all day.
Ladies first, Aaron. Start off.
All right, Greg. Now, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And my first question to you, is it all good in the hood to wear Crocs?
It is. I'm not even going to give you an explanation for this. I saw you wearing them last night.
I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, my gosh. Not good in the hood. Never will be.
What's wrong with Crocs?
I don't have to give you an explanation.
Why not? I deserve an explanation because I love Crocs.
They're hideous. Wear Birkenstocks.
I don't think we can talk anymore, Greg. Our relationship is over.
You're an idiot. Don't give me this form to speak my mind and then tell me I'm wrong.
Okay,
all right?
I'm sorry, Greg.
All right. Don't wear them ever again.
Okay, I got you.
On the subject of sandals, Greg, socks and sandals, good in the hood?
Not good in the hood.
How about socks and Crocs?
No, of course not.
But it rhymes.
Shit, like socks are, nah. They shouldn't really, this will probably come up later, but you shouldn't be seeing socks more often than not.
Sockets and Crocs?
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on.
Sockets in general. First of all, for our listeners who are,
males.
Normal and don't know what sockets are, can you explain what a socket is?
Sockets are, they're basically liners. They're socks, but they just kind of line your feet so that they don't make your shoes smell. But
so
you wouldn't,
they're pantyhose.
They're pretty, no.
They're diapers for your foot. No. I guess socks in general are diapers.
They're just really small socks, and they're pretty much invisible, but they prevent your shoes from smelling.
So based on the fact that you're advertising these things, just so you know, Greg has stock in the socket business.
Yeah, who produces? Is that a Hanes product?
I don't know. I can't remember. I just buy them at Zellers. They're just really cheap or whatever. Zellers is closing, isn't it?
Are they like disposable sockets or do you like wash them?
No, you wash them.
Okay. All right. You learn something new every day.
So I assume that they're all good in the hood is what you're saying.
Certainly. I endorse them entirely. They're good in the hood and you should take them up whenever you're wearing. You don't have to wear them with like running shoes, but if you're wearing shoes with where there's a lot of ankle showing, then you should be wearing sockets.
All right, let's move on to
next
the question of wearing a t-shirt blazer combo at the club.
We know you enjoy clubbing.
You frequent many nightclubs in the Toronto area.
They don't let Greg in any club based on what he shows up wearing.
There's a strict no socket policy at many clubs in Toronto.
Fedoras.
I won't be going
shirts
to those places.
All right, so go. T-shirt, blazer, combo. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I've seen you.
He rocks that?
I was going to say pull it off, but he doesn't really pull it off. But I've seen you try to pull it off.
I wore it for Jim Teddy's class last week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was. I really
that
wasn't
the club, though. That was in class. But no, that's certainly, yeah. As long as it matches, which is, I'm trusting that whoever's wearing it is matching in the color scheme.
Okay.
Last and absolutely least, men with ponytails.
This is this is about as good in the hood as we can get. Certainly, as I'm endorsing this, I don't know if you guys are. Oh, you were in attendance when I took over Hoop Dome against our friends.
With our friends, yeah. Shout out to all our friends at Hoop Dome.
Bismack Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo was there, the top 10 pick in the NBA draft.
And no, it's imperative for me. It helps keep the hair out of my eyes. So I assume anybody that needs a ponytail is doing the same. They need to keep the hair out of their eyes. And
so you don't go with a full ponytail. You like scrunch up your hair top.
I don't have hair long enough to go with a full ponytail.
Well, perhaps you should do that. Let me get some extensions.
I'm getting my hair cut off. July 1st. So 1 month. The countdown is on. 1 month.
All right. Until I'm going to mark it off on my calendar.
Back to...
This is very exciting.
That's it. That was the last question, Josh?
Last question.
All right. Cool. Thanks a lot.
Aside from this music being awesome, is there significance to it?
It is back in July. Do you know that, Greg?
I can't wait.
July 6th.
New season, yeah.
In New York. Larry David, back in business.
Now, in Larry David-like fashion, I want to toot my own horn a little bit. I want to rewind to an episode of the past. I believe this was early April. Greg, you have the clip?
I do.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to take the Vancouver Canucks
very bold.
Winning the West and losing to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I think my Western Conference Finals is San Jose-Vancouver. I'm pretty set on those two teams. And in the East, I like Boston as one of the Eastern Conference finalists, but I'm not really sure the other team. But I do like Boston.
What are we, experts or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what we are. Well, your expertise shown a little more than mine, but...
You had San Jose and Boston in the final?
I did. I had San Jose as my Stanley Cup champ.
Still not bad, though. It's better than the Phoenix Coyotes.
No, he called Tampa Bay.
He did. Mr. Mangos. He did call Tampa Bay. We'll give him some credit.
Good job, Jimmy.
So, I might be right in the end if Boston prevails, but will Boston prevail? Let's preview this series a little bit with Game 1 going Wednesday evening.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
What's the main thing that you're going to be watching tonight?
Oh, I think one of the main storylines, of course, you go to Luongo and Tim Thomas going head-to-head to Vezina Trophy finalists. But the matchup that I'm really going to be interested in is the Sedin twins and Burrows going against the defensive pair of Chara and Seidenberg. You look at the Sedin twins this postseason when they've gone up against staunch defenders like the aforementioned Chara and Seidenberg. You look at Chicago with Keith and Seabrook. You look at Nashville with Suter and Weber. Sedins haven't been nearly as effective as they have been, if you look at the regular season, or against San Jose, who don't have the brute force that the other teams had in terms of their defensive core. So the Sedins are really going to need to overcome their opposition to physical contact. And they're going to need to step up because without their scoring bench, actually, Henrik Sedin, for all the flack he's taken in this postseason for being soft, calling them the Sedin sisters, Henrik Sedin leads the postseason in scoring. So I realize much of that is attributed to a very strong series against San Jose, but still very impressive nonetheless.
That's true. Key for Vancouver to win, is it the Sedins?
Well, there's been, I wouldn't call Manny Malhotra a key, but there have been many reports saying that it's possible that he could be returning from his very serious eye injury. He's going to come back with a full cage, but he's definitely not a difference maker. Vancouver's won 12 games without Manny Malhotra already, but I think he would be a nice touch. But I think it goes back to the big boppers of Vancouver. Christian Ehrhoff is supposed to be back for game one, and Sammy Salo's been healthy uncharacteristically, but I think it all comes down to the Sedins. Burrows, Kessler, the big boys, and they're going to need to overcome Boston's very, very strong defense.
Now, the key for Boston, I want to say it's stopping Vancouver when they're on the power play, but is it just a foregone conclusion that Vancouver's power play is just so damn dominant at this point that the key for Boston might be just staying out of the box in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Boston's been, they've been inconsistent a lot of the times. Remember, you look at early on in the postseason, their power play was absolutely brutal. Then it got going, then it became brutal again, then it got going again. So consistency is going to be huge for Boston, but Vancouver this whole season has been very, very strong on the penalty kill. So they're going to need – Boston's going to need guys like Milan Lucic, who's been pretty much invisible this entire postseason. But, you know, it's very tough to ask David Krejci and Nathan Horton to carry the whole team because Tyler Seguin hasn't done anything since the two games that he came in. So you're going to need the role players on Boston to really step up.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this series. And I'm not a huge hockey guy. I normally watch when it comes to playoff time. But just think a year ago today, not that I'm hating on the whole – Chicago-Philadelphia final, but we were looking at a series with what, Leighton versus Niemi?
Yeah,
and true. Now we're treated to a series with two of the best goaltenders in the business. And these two, Tim Thomas and Luongo, have been dominating most, if not all, of the postseason. These are the two best teams right now. No, the two deepest teams, at least.
I think, yeah, it'd be hard to argue otherwise. These have been the two best teams throughout the postseason, although Boston's had its downs, ups and downs, and Vancouver, of course, lost three in a row to Chicago early on, but it's very solid squads through all the way through the lineup.
Can you remember a better goalie matchup in the postseason? In the finals?
Summon my inner Jimmy Mangos and recall, I believe it was 2001.
Brodeur and Roy.
Brodeur and Roy, yeah, exactly. Devils, Avs, that was an extraordinary matchup to the best, if not the two best goalies in NHL history. So that's probably the closest I can remember to something like this. Well, of course, those guys were legendary. But Thomas and Luongo this year have been incredible as well.
Greg, let's talk predictions. And we know what my prediction is. I'm not going to back down now. I'm going to say Boston in... I'll say seven. I'll say Boston in seven. Greg, what do you got?
This is... Really, it hurts to do this because I actually hate both of these teams with a passion. I actually wrote on Facebook, my least favorite city in Canada, my least favorite city in the United States for the Stanley Cup. It sucks, but...
What's wrong with the city of Boston?
I don't know, but...
The beautiful
it's just,
city
I think
of
it's
Boston.
Just more like the... For Boston, it's the sports teams.
All right.
You're talking Patriots,
you're
Red
jealous,
Sox.
You're
no,
saying.
I'm just jealous. Yeah, because they bitch all the time and they're spoiled. You're talking about three Super Bowls this decade. Two World Series this past decade, right? Two?
Yeah.
NBA what up, Boston? There you go, Celtics with a title. Like, it's just ridiculous, and they bitch nonstop when one team doesn't make the playoffs. I hate that.
Become accustomed to winning, I guess.
Prediction.
Yeah, sorry. So, prediction. I guess if I have to choose here, I was kind of swayed in one direction. I'll go Vancouver in six. No, wait. Seven.
We don't have all day, Greg.
Seven. Seven.
I'll take Vancouver in six, but I'd love to see Boston come away with that, as it would greatly help my betting account on party bets.
Fans in Vancouver may very soon be celebrating a Stanley Cup victory. Fans in Winnipeg already have a reason to celebrate. They've got themselves a new NHL team.
Yay! It's very exciting news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Sounded really excited.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's more of a sarcastic yay.
Oh, really? I couldn't.
You could tell. Are you being sarcastic?
Maybe.
Okay. I see how it is, Greg.
The artists formerly known as the Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. Will they do well in Winnipeg?
Well, it's certainly by Gary Bettman's very dour. I think dour is a word, right, Greg?
I'll look that up. Give me a second.
D-O-U-R. Dour. Sad, like, not very excited.
He failed.
He wasn't very pleased to be in Winnipeg. I believe his statement is that the only way they can pretty much be a viable market is if they sell 13,000 season tickets, which may be a little bit of a stretch considering I think they're charging $82 a seat per average, which is, I think, the second highest number in the NHL. So pretty, I guess, to start off, you need to charge money because – Of course, they paid the Winnipeg owners, new owners, paid a lot of money, shelled out a lot of money for the franchise, so they need to recoup some of their investment. But at the same time, is Atlanta really worthy, or the team that formerly was Atlanta, really worthy of such a high-priced ticket admission?
Is this not taking advantage of fans who have been deprived of NHL hockey for so long that they're willing to shell out the type of money that Winnipeg is asking them to pay for season's tickets?
Oh, I think that's absolutely what it is, and it's pretty much like a foregone conclusion. I feel like people in Winnipeg feel like obliged to buy tickets because that's their method of supporting the team and keeping them viable in the market. Because if pretty much, I think if you're rich in Winnipeg, people are expecting you to buy tickets. I mean, that's how I don't know for certain. That's mere speculation, but I feel that's how it could be perceived in that market right now.
I fear there's almost an egg timer on this team's success, at least from the box office perspective, in that for the next few years, these fans who, like I said, have been deprived of NHL hockey for so long, they're hungry for a team, whether good, bad, or otherwise, they're going to buy seats. But how long will this team survive there? How long will these fans continue to show up unless they put a winner on the ice in the next 5 years?
It's very interesting you mentioned that, because if you are to buy season tickets for the Winnipeg team, whatever they may be called, it's required to be a 3 to 5 year season plan. So they're locking you in for quite a significant period of time, which is pretty unbelievable. If you're willing to shell out God knows how much money for 3 to 5 years, who knows what this team is going to look like?
It's not Toronto. They pretty much have those 3 to 5 years to make this team a contender, or there's going to be some trouble.
Yeah, I think that's the case. But at the same time, as you mentioned, this is a fan base that was so deprived of NHL hockey. These guys in Winnipeg, they love hockey, and they want to watch their team. Who knows what it's called? Nobody really knows, whether it's a Manitoba team or a Winnipeg team. But it's definitely a market that was craving some NHL hockey.
Let's use this platform to propose some team names to the fine people who have purchased this franchise. What should this team be called?
Well, is it going to be Winnipeg or Manitoba? Because there's been rumors that it's going to be Manitoba, whether it be the Manitoba.
Really,
I don't think it's going to be the Jets.
Really, all we know is that they won't be the Thrashers.
Was that certain? I think that would be a decent
certain
name.
No.
What do you think? Thrasher Jets? Little combination there, the TJs.
That's retarded.
Like,
whoa.
Sorry,
that's not very nice. The TJs.
The opinions of Gregory Hood do not express those of the Sports Radio Jacks.
That's the worst name I've ever heard.
TJs.
It's worse than like Gamecocks.
What?
Heard that's South Carolina.
Yeah,
South Carolina Gamecocks.
But all right, let's pitch some
names.
It's
like when two people get married and they're postmodern or whatever. They can't decide on what to name their damn child, so they combine their damn last names, and that's what you get.
That's
Thrasher Jets.
Miller Lichtenstein.
Whoa, back off.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Back off.
All right, so you got any potential names for the people of Winnipeg or Manitoba?
What about the Winnipeg Sockettes?
Greg?
How do we feel about that? They'd be very absorbent.
Almost as stupid as Aaron's idea.
That's not more stupid than the Thrasher Jets.
What the hell is a Thrasher Jet?
Oh, that's a jet that, like, thrashes?
Call them the Jets. Get it over.
No, it's not going to be the Jets. There's no way it's the Jets.
Why not?
Because they want to sell jerseys. They don't want to not make money.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, that's
the Winnipeg Asbestos.
Manitoba Asbestos? I don't know. I think the province of Manitoba deserves a fine name. I don't think it'll be well received regardless of what it is. Although I've heard reports that they don't really care what the name is. They're just so happy that the franchise is back. But the Jets is what most people, I would wager, desire. However, I'm pretty certain it's not going to happen.
I tend to agree with that. Greg, do you have any name suggestions?
I don't know. No, I like what's in Winnipeg? Nothing? So I can't
snow.
Even.
I don't know what goes on in Winnipeg. When I think of Winnipeg, I just think of like a blizzard.
What's the correlation of Jets to Winnipeg?
That's just a legacy that was left behind with the Jets.
No, I'm asking when they named the team initially, the Winnipeg Jets, what was the correlation?
That's why you're the producer, Greg. Get on that.
Okay, I'll get on that.
Okay, good stuff.
The Winnipeg Jets, or whatever they may be called, may be returning shortly to the province.
I think they are.
Of Manitoba.
I think it's pretty determined that they will be going to Winnipeg or Manitoba, whatever.
Well, yeah, the team, yes, but the name is.
It is up in the air.
Yes. But Brett Laurie could be making his long anticipated return to Toronto, joining the Major League squad. Potentially on Friday, but in AAA action yesterday in Vegas, got hit in the hand, went to the hospital. Apparently it's a bruise. Is this going to affect the savior's arrival in Toronto this week?
It could. We don't really know the severity of the bruise, but I think it's pretty safe to say that whenever Brett Laurie is called up, he's going to rake. Because
is that safe to say?
I think it's absolutely safe to say. This is a guy who is absolutely ripping up Triple A. I know there's guys like Matt Wieters, Brandon Belt.
These are the names that I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I know. There's that case. But I just think there's something about Brett Laurie that is just going to be a stud as soon as he enters the majors.
Name me, and I'm playing devil's advocate here because I love the kid. I hope he comes up. I hope he's amazing. But name me the last highly touted prospect hitter, who was brought up to the major leagues in the middle of the season and continued dominating the way that they did in AAA. Maybe not to
I'll
that
give you two.
Extent, but okay, give me
Ryan
two.
Braun.
That's the last
Evan
one.
Evan Longoria.
Yeah.
Those guys are still studs today, obviously. But I don't see why Brett Laurie, maybe not at the same impact, because those guys are two of the top.
Those were the names
10,
that were
players.
At the top of my head, too. But the bottom line was Ryan Braun, how many years ago was that now?
3 years, maybe?
I think it was more than that. I think he's been in the majors more than 3 years. Look that up, Greg.
You got an answer about the Jets, by the way?
They were in the WHL before the NHL, and they stole the team name from the like junior A team that was there. Okay. So I couldn't, and then they changed their name, so now I can't find anything.
All right. That's some interesting knowledge.
Yeah, whatever. It's a sucky name, whatever.
Ryan Braun came up to the majors and dominated 5 years ago.
5 years ago, eh?
5 years ago.
Wow, Bronner. All right.
And
so.
Longoria, I was going to say started the season, but he didn't start the season.
I think Longoria came after Braun?
Yeah, it was after Braun.
A year after Braun?
But my point is just that it's incredibly rare. You see it with pitchers a little bit more when pitchers get called up in the middle of the season, based solely upon the fact that a lot of these hitters haven't seen said pitcher. A lot of the time, these highly touted pitchers have such electric stuff that they take the majors by storm for the first handful of months, and then it's normally the second year that they get rocked a little bit. They have some trouble, unless they're Tommy Hansen and they're a complete stud.
Matt Latos.
Yeah. Well,
he's had his ups and downs this year, but you know what? Go out on a limb and say that Brett Laurie is going to be a very, very valuable contributor, not only this year, but for many years to come.
I hope you're right, but I caution Blue Jays fans
he's not going to put them in the playoffs.
Take
let's just
it
say
easy
that.
On the whole savior term. Let's not go crazy here. Let's hope for the best. Let's expect a lot from this kid eventually. But this season's going to be tough for him, I think.
One quick question. So when he gets called up, who is the odd man out here on the Jays roster?
Eric Thames.
Okay, so you send him back.
That's
down.
Interesting. Yeah, I think Laurie will take a lot.
But
he's
an outfielder at the same time, right? So you're talking one of Juan Rivera, Edwin Encarnacion, or Jason Nix.
I think Juan Rivera has cemented his spot in the lineup for the time being.
Yeah, but no, Adam Lind comes back. He's not playing first. Maybe he gets
the Jays lineup,
unmotivated again.
The Jays lineup happens to be very versatile, which is a credit to what Alex Anthopoulos has put together. So they have enough depth at so many positions that they can afford to send down somebody like Thames and just move people around. We know Rivera's able to play in the outfield as well as at first DH. Adam Lind, same thing. And Encarnacion can move around the corner of the infield. So, obviously not well, but...
Not well at all.
No.
I think
you have to imagine, Greg, a serious man crush on Edwin Encarnacion.
I actually had a man crush on Juan Rivera at the beginning of the year, too, and everyone hated him.
Yeah, now he's playing well.
Oh, he's lighting up everybody.
I think it's pretty safe to say that Juan Rivera
and eating cheeseburgers at an alarming rate.
Juan Rivera?
Yeah.
Really?
I assume.
He's just fat.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. But I think Juan Rivera is going to be traded, and Travis Snyder needs a spot. This is maybe not a cornerstone of the franchise, but he is a piece of the future that the Jays need to continue to develop. I think that's pretty safe. We can all agree on that.
Let's go out on what was one victory in a long, long Major League Baseball season, but a massive moral victory, a win for JoJo Reyes.
Ah, way to go, JoJo.
Yeah.
You're not the biggest loser of all time.
No,
you're just one of them.
He's tied for the biggest
one of
loser
three.
of all time.
One of three, yeah, with some other guys. It's quite a not a good distinction for JoJo.
It's not as bad as it would sound, I would argue, because this isn't 28 straight games. It was 28, right?
Yeah. 3-year span.
It's not 28 straight games of losing. It's just not winning. And we know that he's pitched a few of those games well enough to win, although he's still brutal, in my opinion, and should not be pitching in the major leagues. Although there's a lot of brutal pitchers.
There
in the major
are
leagues.
Many, many brutal pitchers.
Most of them are on my AL-only team. But
yes, they are. But yeah, poor JoJo. He just didn't get the run support some days. Sometimes the ball doesn't fall in the right spot for you necessarily, but it's good to see him get a win. I know the Blue Jays were beyond ecstatic to see him win because it seemed like they just won the World Series after JoJo's complete game.
I was in attendance for that game that he
really?
Pitched again. No, not the one he won. The one against the Astros when Hunter Pence, my boy Hunter Pence, rocked John Roach and lost the game. The whole building was like, oh, I got up and left.
Do we know what Brandon Morrow wanted to do with that goat? Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of the bad vibes.
Were they going to sacrifice a goat?
Well, Brandon Morrow just needs 194-mile-per-hour fastball, and that goat is goodbye.
Yeah, but then like a couple innings later, he'll probably be walking a bunch of other goats. And
it's true. Well, he probably couldn't hit the goat around them if he wanted to. So that one bad inning of the goat hitting will put him back a little bit.
Good show. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
It was all right. Would have been better if Greg showed up on time, but...
Yeah. Greg, if you make us wait...
Those are the bricks.
Even for 5 more minutes, you're done. You're done. You're done.
Really?
No, I love you, Greg.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening. On behalf of producer Greg Hood, Aaron Karolnik, I'm Josh Lewinberg. Join us next week on the Sports Radio Jacks.